audience. Hi, Mange here. Oh, my arm hurts. Oh, and there's a lawnmower noise. That's unusual. And handling noise. Handling noise on my iPhone. I mean, my recording device. And a car that's trying to hit me. And I'm trying to find a garbage can for my coffee because I have no hands. Oh, there's a garbage can over there. Weed eaters everywhere. I mean, people have to work, right? He was polite. He saw me with my crippled hand. It's not wooden. Reagan Fox used to say that I have a wooden hand. I don't. And then he said I had a wheel. I don't. I never did. But it's closer to that now. It looks like a wooden hand, but it ain't. It's an orange hand. It looks like a fucking carrot hand. Okay, I'm gonna throw up my... Excuse my handling noise as I throw out my Starbucks. Excuse my lack of stereo. I mean, my annoying stereo effect. And excuse my ugly... Oh, you can't see it. Face. Trying to walk. Trying to talk. Trying to do the whole darn thing, audience. I have the day off, audience. I have the day off. I'm walking around with all my schlepping. Shit, with all my shit. So, let me check. Yeah, I'm still recording. So, I don't know what I want to talk about. I guess I'll talk about what's on my mind today. Well, not much. Well, yes. Record heat today. I got a message from the Cook County, people, the same people that send out COVID alerts, have record heat warning. So we're gonna have record heat. Go figure. It's climate's change and record heat in Chicago. Wind noise. You get wind noise here. You know, I know my audio isn't perfect, but I'm crippled. I also know it wasn't perfect before I was crippled. But audience, I like to go outside, and it won't last too much longer. Soon the weather will be typical Chicago horror show. Witch's tit weather. Colder than a witch's tit, as they say. And I've got a horrible vagina. I'm ugly and fat. What am I talking about? I'm delirious with idiocy. That could be a name for the grunt, but I can't say, hey, you know who, because I'll trigger Reagan's you know what. Meaning, you know, one of those automated assistants. I can't say her name because she does it to me, too, when I say it on the Grom. And now I've been doing these Zoom meetings at work. It's not really Zoom. Actually, we use Blue Jeans, which is fucking horrible. Can't even do a blurred background on Blue Jeans. What a dumb name. And what was I talking about? Blue Jeans. Fuck me. I'm so old and senile. I was talking about the fucking Blue Jeans for some reason. Anyway. Oh, yeah, I kept triggering you-know-who on... I sound like Whoopi Goldberg talking about Trump. Well, you-know-who was in the news again tweeting about herpes and how good it is on his wife. You-know-who? What do you think, Megan, about what you-know-who said about herpes? I just made a silent H in the middle of that. Okay, here's the little park. I hope there's nobody here. People should be nicer to handicaps, you know? Oh, no, there's somebody there. Motherfuck. I was going to go to this cute park. But there's people there with kids. I guess I could sit here. Yeah, I'll sit here. There's a bench in the park. I don't think I'll look too pedo with my broken hand and a purpose. That could be a name for a Grom. A broken hand and a purpose. Actually, it's a wrist, but does it really matter? All I know is people... Oh, no, it's wet. Oh, let me wipe it off. Everything's so hard, audience. Everything's so fucking hard when you're crippled. When you're fucking crippled. I'm at Roscoe, next to the famous bar Roscoe's, where, you know, they do all the drag shows. I'm right next to that. If you look at Roscoe's bar... on the internet map, Next to it, you'll see a little park. That's where I am in the bench. You can look at it on Google Street View if you want. What is Cheryl texting me? Reported. A message to... Oh, that's... Oh, no. So... Oh, this is horrible. This is depressing. Oh, never mind. New teacher challenge. Anyway, it's horrible. I don't even want to... Never mind. Forget I said that. This is awful shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm going to have to erase that now. I hope I don't forget to erase it. You know, nobody's perfect. I saw this thing yesterday, how Randy Rainbow has this history of being horrible on Twitter, and it made me like him a little. Fine. I think I used to know Randy Rainbow before he branded himself that. Didn't he used to do these videos with his shirt off? Or am I thinking of something else? He used to talk about me a little bit. Oh, God, I sound like Trump. Oh, I like him. He used to talk about me. I like him because he likes me. I like him because he's heard of me. But anyways, is that Randy Rainbow, the guy that used to do the shirtless like YouTube videos maybe 10 years ago? Is that the same guy? He had a different name then, right? Or am I thinking of something else? The shirtless guy was fairly popular and he used to just talk about shit, but people didn't care. They just liked his shirtlessness, and now he does that. Shashaldin posted, next I want a review of Cheetos. She said, next I want to do a review of Cheetos, new mac and cheese, then home fitness equipment. Anyone know of anything unusual to try? I said, review cancer. Because it's going to cause cancer. Cheetos, mac and cheese. I mean, it's cute, Griselda, but it's going to give you cancer. Review cancer. I think that would be fun. Cancer review. I like this cancer because it's so amazing and I'm bloated from it and now I get to go on chemo. I don't know how popular that would be, but I like the idea. It's fucking hot out. Audience, so what I was going to talk about today, what's been... Oh, my God, what is that? These people have body yaddy yaddy in this city across from Roscoe's. I will tell... I'm a lesbian, but sometimes I get an eyeful. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to do about old age. My vagina gets wet sometimes for the wrong reasons. So I need to do a Grom for Max and Stacey. You know, I do the orange pill. A podcast, I've been working with them on that. God, I have this disgusting planner's wart that just won't go away. I know I shouldn't talk about planner's warts, because isn't that an STD? I got rid of all of them, but this one on the middle toe, and it's just... My doctor told me I should duct tape them. And I was doing it, but it was just fucking annoying. So now I just wait. I pick them off during yoga class, but I haven't been doing yoga lately because of my arm, so the planner's warts have been getting a lot bigger. Thoughts? It's just, usually I have a pumice, and I pumice. I shouldn't even talk about planner's warts. You're going to be awful to me, and never let me forget about my planner's warts, but you've all had them. You probably just called them a bunion, but they're planner's warts. So, Max and Stacey, the Orange Pill Podcast, look for it on YouTube. You can also look for it on the Downscast or whatever your podcatcher, but you want to see the YouTube because I'm in it, and you want to see my beautiful outfit. I even bought a new outfit. It cost me $9, maybe $8. No, I think it was $8 at the used clothing store. And it still had the little plastic piece that hangs onto the tag, so it's relatively new. It's not pretty. It's kind of a square Blanche from Golden Girls look. What was her last name? Nope, Blanche DuBois. No, that's Streetcar. Blanche Devereaux. Why the fuck did they pick a name so close to Blanche DuBois? Kind of not original. Kind of like Andy Vera using somebody else's name. You know what I mean? From the podcast. Oh, hydrogen lovies. God, hydrogen bless me. I don't know what happened, lovies. She blocked me. Anyway, because you're not allowed to say anything bad about Biden. God forbid you should be honest during a presidential campaign. I told you I'm voting for the piece of shit, but that doesn't mean I have to like him. I'm not going to pretend he's a good candidate at all. He's fucking not. But he's better than Trump, and I'm voting for him. I'd rather have him than Trump. If you want to vote for Trump, go for it. I don't care. I don't have the energy with this shit candidate to try and convince you, or the ammunition. But I'm voting for Biden because I'd much rather have him than Trump. And hopefully he'll just sneeze and have another brain aneurysm on election or inauguration day, and then Kamala will be in charge, and she'll just do the weather vane thing, and people will protest, and she'll do whatever they say because she's very weather vaney, you know? Kind of like she goes where the wind takes her. I don't know of another metaphor for that. Audience, So I have to do another a bit, and I didn't really have any ideas. I was talking to Stacy, and I suggested Gaza, because nobody's talking about Gaza. I'm like, well, that's too heavy. She's like, yeah, and plus it brings out the crazies, so we're not going to do Gaza. It's not. So she suggested a guilfoyle challenge audience. So I think I'm going to try that. And the guilfoyle challenge is very funny. So I guess I think what I'm going to do is do like a mock speech of Kimberly Guilfoyle. And I hope I have the energy for it. I don't want to give you my ideas for that because I don't want to spoil it. But I have some nice ideas. If you have any ideas before this, well, I'm recording this Wednesday morning and I have to, oh, that's nice. That's really loud. Today's Wednesday, is it the 26th? I'm recording this at 11 a.m. Central Time, and I have to start recording in the evening of the same day. So if you hear this before then feel free to send me some ideas. bloatedlesbian@gmail.com. Nobody will, though. But and don't forget to join my new Telegram group if you want to. I'm only mentioning it here. It's a secret. t.me/yeastradiochat if you want to join that. It's a secret group just for people who actually listen. There's just a few people there, but it's fun. You know, we share pictures of things, and it's very nice. And, yeah. Oh, my God, I'm sweating. Hold on. I almost wiped my face on my windscreen. It's just disgusting. I'm schwitzing. Everything still hurts. My body still hurts. I know you care. My body still hurts. I really feel like Trump's going to win. I'm sorry. I really think, you know, people need to vote for fucking... People need to tell Biden that he's got to have a progressive thing. Cabinet. What do you call that thing? Policy? They didn't even talk about policies in the fucking DNC. I was also thinking, wouldn't it be funny if all the Republicans, the same Republicans like John Kasich, who spoke at the DNC, also spoke at the RNC? That would just be amazing to me and kind of performance art. I would like that. Hold on. Let me read this post from Sher Michaels. What the fuck name is this? Sher Michael Shingleton. The election is going to be a lot closer than people think. As mentioned last night on CNN by Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, the polls are shifting towards Trump because of rioting and looting. This could very well be the gift that Trump needs to increase the numbers. Wow, that's very loaded. So Trump is basically portraying Biden as a socialist and a Marxist, and same with Kamala. So it becomes obvious, at least to me, why the calculating Democrats who really decided Biden, let's not pretend it was the electorate who decided to put Biden there instead of Bernie, who decided to have a centrist, it was because they were afraid of being called a socialist. But they're being called a socialist anyway, so I'd rather, like, why not really be a socialist, and then we can actually fight instead of just calling us a socialist and we're really just the same as you, and then we have no choice, and then progressives don't vote. The whole thing is retarded. Oh, I said retarded. We're not allowed to say that anymore. Anyway, it's also dumb. You know, I'm voting for Biden, okay, but my point is that you have to be realistic and see things how they are, and you have to understand that Biden is going to lose this thing if the status quo platform, that's the word I was looking for, platform, continues. You need to get progressives to vote, and progressives aren't going to vote for Biden the way he's coming off right now, as just, you know, all this messaging and imagery and bullshit and flags, you know, old school 80s Republican shit. Even the Republicans moved past that. I mean, they didn't have much in the way of image. I only watched the first night, and then 5 seconds of yesterday was just unbearable. But, you know, it was more like live people being full of shit as opposed to pre-recorded videos that are edited horribly, you know. Horrible shit. I mean, they're both really bad infomercials, but the Democratic one was a horrible infomercial, and the Republican one was like more like Hitler propaganda video, also horrible. God, that fucking sucks, right? I don't know what to say. I just think, I know many of you disagree with me, and you think the centrist calculus has to go, but, I mean, is the way to go. But just ask yourself, where does that evidence come from? And when does that evidence come from that tells you that the political calculus says that in order to attract swing states, you have to go against popular policies like Medicare for All? Where does that calculus come from? My belief is that that calculus comes from the same lobbyists who actually represent the interests who benefit from that those policies, meaning the insurance companies, the big pharmas, those sorts of people. That's where I think it's coming from, because it is sort of a coincidence that those policies that are more centrist, that are supposedly political calculus, are the same ones that do benefit those people that happen to donate a lot of money to the Democrats. I feel like a broken record, but I don't think anyone really agrees with me, so I'm just trying to get that out there. So, yeah. Yeah, so that's it. I don't know what to do, so I think I might, in my match bit for Orange Pills, even though I am voting for Biden, I might do like a sort of satire thing where I might just do like a spoof of Kimberly Guilfoyle and tell people to join the Madge Liberation Army, which Max and Stacey coined. It's a garbage truck. The, like, what is that? The SLA, something Liberation Army. Wasn't that Patty Hearst in the 70s? That whole thing. Something, Symbolese Liberation Army. Except it's the Madge Liberation Army. And it doesn't exist, but I could just, I think I might just say it exists and then say, join me and write in Madge Weinstein. Instead of Trump or Biden. Just for fun. If people take that literally, that's not my fucking problem. It's a joke. But I think I might do that. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I'm not going to script it. I'm just going to kind of scream. Since that's what Guilfoyle does. I did. Ugh, God, it's fucking hot. Okay, I've talked for 20 minutes. It's probably enough. I think I'll start walking again. Ah, my arm hurts. My joint hurts too. Everything hurts when you're a lesbian with a broken wrist. No pets, no alcohol, smoking, no chalk or crayons. Why the fuck can't you bring chalk or crayons? The fuck fun is that? Okay, so I'm walking out. I'm walking, getting ready to walk past Roscoe's. So, yeah. I don't know what to do. I guess I'll do that on my vacation day. Then I'll have a really good old time with my orange cast. I have an orange cast. Roscoe's is getting ready. They've got their outdoor business going on. Everybody loves that. Being outside. I don't know what's going to happen in the winter with this COVID when these bars can't work outside, because right now the bars are closed on the inside but open on the outside. The restaurants are open both. They're supposedly not having a huge thing on the inside. But I was at a walking around yesterday on I was at Broadway, and there's some restaurants where it seemed like it's pretty full on the inside and on the outside, so I don't know what's going on. But then I was reading an article, I think it was on the Yahoo News. Reagan loves the Yahoo News. Though I suspect he stopped listening to the Grum because he hasn't responded to my... He hasn't joined the Telegram group. Unless he's got something against Telegram. But there's people that want to talk to him there about the thing. That thing, you know what I mean? That other thing. Oh, my wooden hand. People had questions about my wooden hand. And the wheel. So, I don't know. I kind of explained it already. And informed you that I don't have a wheel. But a wheel hand makes no sense. I think that explains itself, really. Ouch, fuck, I just tripped on myself. But a wheel for, why would you have a wheel for a hand? I understand a wheel for a foot, if you're a dog. But a wheel for a hand? It's dumb. And there's no such thing. Google it. Nobody has a wheel for a hand. So, I think on its surface, it's obvious that Reagan's lying about my hand. Plus, you can just look at pictures. I never had a wooden hand. Never. I don't know why he said that, but people should ask him to join this Telegram group of mine. Ask him. Why, audience? Why? And it's Yeast Radio, the T-Me /YeastRadioChat is the Telegram group, by the way. Reagan, tell him. No, don't tell him. Let him. Don't tell him. He has to discover it. I know he has time to listen to Deborah's 50 grams a week. He should have time for me, but he was upset because I kept triggering his electronic assistant. I don't want to say the name because I don't want to trigger it again. Yeah. So, right. Yeah. Right. Oh, I'm in a cycle. Yeah, right. Oh. There was a new update to Final Cut Pro yesterday. I love talking about technology with Deborah Wilkerson. She's been using Final Cut, but I think she's... she's been using... Well, that gives me the willies. It's like a leaf that has, like, some disease on it. Ugh. I think I have that thing with the... Where you don't like holes. What is that disease called where you don't like holes? Little holes. Oh, I'm itching in my cast now because of it. Oh, my God. I can't even think about that. I know somebody knows the name of it. You know, it's fucking insane that I do this. Just walk around talking to my fucking self. With my painful arm. And then, you know, I wash the cast, and then it fucking itches like crazy for like 2 hours as it dries. But now I'm sweating, and it's starting to itch again. Fucking itches, audience. It itches. It's terrible because my friend who used to say, it itches with me, she died this month. Soon I'll be able to say last month. But she died. She and I used to say a lot of things, you know. We started a lot of sayings, like girdle. I started girdle with her. But she's dead, so I can't call her and say girdle or go with that feeling. But she went to Amsterdam with me for the first time in 1989. I've told you. And we were so high. We were going to spend the whole summer in backpack, and then after the first youth hostel, we had this little doll that we bought at Kennedy Airport. Ironically called Trumpy. It was like a little doll that you wind up. And when you wind it up, it's like the doll plays... It was a monkey that plays cymbals. Clink, 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 like a organ grinder monkey. If anybody's old enough to know what that is. When I was a kid, they used to have organ grinders in New York City. My grandfather used to take me, and the organ grinder was some man who played organ. He had a little monkey, an actual monkey on a leash, and the monkey would go up to the kids, and you give them a nickel. Yeah, and the monkey would take the nickel from you. It was so cute. Anyway, that's an organ grinder. What the fuck was I talking about? Now we got another fucking weed eater, organ grinder. I don't remember what I was talking about. What the fuck was I talking about? Damn it. Oh, Trumpy. So Trumpy was this cute little wind-up monkey, organ grinder monkey, and it would go clang, 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 you know, with its cymbals. It would, you know, play its cymbals when you wind it. It was so cute. We went to a youth hostel. I don't remember which one in Amsterdam. It might have been Bob's youth hostel. I don't remember. But we went to it. First time in Europe. 21 years old or something. 1989. Oops. I'm not giving away my age. I don't know how old I was. I was probably 50. Whatever. 1989. Right before the Berlin Wall fell. Right after Chernobyl's. Lots of stuff. It smelled like Chernobyl in Amsterdam. The whole city smelled like Chernobyl. Weird smell. Very spicy. Actually, it was probably Indonesian food, but we called it Chernobyl food. And Lori and I. So we went to this youth hostel. We're like, oh, yeah, we're going to just do youth hostels. We got these backpacks at in this store in New York. And they're real fancy. I charged it. Or maybe I bounced the check. I was bouncing checks in those days, I think. In any case, it was... Got a nice backpacks. One of the people who dropped us off at the airport, he's dead too. My roommate for, I think, like 3 years. He's dead. Died of brain cancer. And my grand. Enjoy it while you can, ladies, because it don't fucking last. And if you have relationships you're putting off, they'll be dead before you know it, so we better talk to them. Anyway, so Trumpy, so we went to this youth hostel. And the first night, with our backpacking all planned out for the whole summer, we're going to go everywhere in the world, be real cheap. I had sold my Macintosh SE for like $2,000 or something. And we were so excited to travel Europe. And then after the first night, we wake up, Trumpy's gone. Trumpy was stolen. And I couldn't believe it. Our little Trumpy got stolen. Because everybody's fucking high in Amsterdam. So what do they steal? They don't steal passports, money. They steal the fucking wind-up doll. We were so pissed. I still had my American Express card from college that somehow I had gotten. And we went across the street to the Pullman International Hotel. It was a 5-star hotel with a wet bar. I mean, where they have food in it. Toblerone. Checked in across the street. And then we came back to the hostel to get the rest of our stuff. And I think, must have. I don't know why we would have left our stuff there when we just got something stolen. But came back. For whatever reason, there was a Polish girl. Poland was still communist then. And this Polish girl's like, "What are you doing?" "Oh, we're going, to the hotel across the street." She's like, "How can you stay there? You mean the beautiful hotel?" "Yes." I said, "Yeah, it's a 5-star hotel." She said, How can you pay for that?" I said, "Oh, yeah, we don't have the money. We use this." And I showed her my American Express card. She said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, it means it's free. It's magic, and it means you don't actually have to pay for it. It's free." And I never did, because I ended up charging on the thing like crazy, and then my parents paid for it, or I think my mother called American Express and screamed at them, "How could you give credit to a child?" and got them to write it off or something. But I also made, like, this is when long distance was very expensive, 1989. I was manic and crazy and on drugs, so I made like $10,000 worth of phone calls to my friends in America. It was more than $10,000 worth in 2 weeks. We only ended up spending 2 weeks there in a 5-star hotel. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, right? Just so this whole backpack adventure turned into 2 weeks of just manic living like we're fucking rich. We went to the fanciest restaurants, spent all the money, credit till the credit didn't work anymore, and then came home. But my father, I used my father's calling card, because he gave it to me for emergencies. Big mistake. And so I charged like $10,000 on my father's work calling card. He got in big trouble at work. He may have even gotten fired for it. I'm not sure. We talked about it much later, and I did apologize, and he did forgive me, but it was a bad scene for me. I was not a good kid. Not a good kid at all. I guess I'm still not. So that's me, audience. That's me. It me. And I don't know what else. I guess that's it. Do I have time for some Jack's Benny? I'm not going to do show notes. It hurts. And it itches. It itches. It itches. See, all that tangent came from me saying, "It itches." It's all about tangents, audience. This podcast is all about tangents and tangerine arms, because that's the color of my arm. Tangerine. Actually, it's just orange. I don't know the fucking difference. It looks like one of those cones that they fuck people with in fisting porns. Street cones. All right. I'm going to go. Talk to you later, audience.
Geography was no longer just a schoolboy study. North Africa, the Coral Sea, Leyte Gulf, Stalingrad, and then the moment the Allies had waited for occurred on June 6, 1944. The Allied commander, Dwight David Eisenhower, spoke to the world.
"People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies."
And FDR spoke from the United States.
"My fellow Americans, last night, when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their heart, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be.
But at the same moment the leaders were speaking, history was being made by men in landing ships, and radio was on the spot. Listen to George Hicks as he rode in with the first assault waves to land on Fortress Europe.
Our own ship has just gave its warning whistle, and now the flak is coming up in the sky. Looks like we're going to have a night tonight.
Another one coming over.
And a cruiser right alongside of it, pouring it up.
Something burning is falling down through the sky. And circling down. Maybe a hit plane. They got one.
And this same surge of power was being felt in the Pacific. On February 19, 1945, the United States Marines landed on Iwo Jima. An NBC newsman was with them in this bloody battle.
Dallas, we hear this gunfire going on all around us. Now we are now inside the screen of warships. There's no more warships between us and the beach. We look out to the stern of us now, and there are hundreds of craft flying out there. But between us and the beach, nothing except a few amphibious craft that are on the beach disgorge their tanks. They're still beached in there. As the water's being churned up quite a bit in between us and the beach now with the bursting of these shells. It looks like a tank burning in there on the shore. Looking through our glasses now, we're just a couple of hundred yards off the beach. We can see these anthrax pull up along the beach and dozens of Marines around each one of them. You can see those terraces now, and stretched along on the seaside of those terraces for the cover they offer is a line of Marines taking protection from those covers. There must be a group of Marines that just recently landed. You can see lots of fresh material over there on the beach. And you can no doubt hear the bursting of these ships, bursting all around it. Tosho isn't going to get much use out of this island from here on in. You get a better look at that little fire we saw on the beach. It is indeed a jeep that has been hit and burning.
See, we're going to hit the beach in just a couple of seconds. So we're going to be quiet and brace ourselves for the shot. And there we've hit the beach. Just simultaneously with that shell burst that you heard, we hit the beach.
The smell of victory was in the air as the Allies swept back the enemy in Europe and in the Pacific. News bulletin after news bulletin spoke of another step toward peace. Listen to John Daly on April 12, 1945. The world and the nation were shocked.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin from CBS World News. A press association has just announced that President Roosevelt is dead. The president died of a cerebral hemorrhage. All we know so far is that the president died at Warm Springs in Georgia.
With the victory he had helped to engineer so close at hand, FDR did not live to enjoy the fruits of his labor. Arthur Godfrey, the old redhead himself, talked of FDR as radio again demonstrated its unique ability to transmit sorrow and loss on a very personal basis.
The drums are wrapped in black crepe and are muffled, as you can hear. And the pace of the musicians is so slow. And behind them, these are Navy boys. And now just coming past the treasury, I can see the horses drawing the caisson. And most generally, folks having as tough a time as I am trying to see it. And behind us is the car bearing the man on whose shoulders now fall the terrific burdens and responsibilities that were handled so well by the man to whose body we're paying our last respects now. God bless him, President Truman. We return you now to the studios.
God has seen fit to take from us a great man who loved and was beloved by all humanity. No man could possibly fill the tremendous void left by the passing of that noble soul. No words can ease the aching hearts of untold millions of every race, creed, and color. The world knows it has lost a heroic champion of justice and freedom. Tragic fate has thrust upon us grave responsibility. We must carry on. Our departed leader never looked backwards. He looked forward and moved forward. That is what he would want us to do. That is what America will do. With great humility, I call upon all Americans to help me keep our nation united in defense of those ideals which have been so eloquently proclaimed by Franklin Roosevelt.
Less than a month later, May the 7th, Winston Churchill spoke on VE Day.
The German war is at an end. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. But let us not forget for a moment the toils and efforts that lie ahead. Japan, with all her treachery and greed, remains unsubdued. The injuries she has inflicted upon Great Britain, the United States, and other countries, and her detestable cruelties, call for justice and retribution.
The war in the Pacific continued, fierce, bloody, with mounting casualties. Strange new words like kamikaze became part of our vocabulary. Landings on the home islands of Japan were imminent, when this news broadcast changed the face of world history forever.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
It was just a matter of time.
7 p.m. Eastern Wartime, Bob Trout reporting. The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. The United Nations are united and are victorious.
General Douglas MacArthur stood on the deck of the veteran man of war, the USS Missouri, to sign the official documents of surrender with the rulers of Japan.
Representatives of the major warring powers, to conclude a solemn agreement whereby peace may be restored. The issue involving divergent ideals and ideologies have been determined on the battlefields of the world, and hence are not for our discussion or debate. Nor is it for us here to meet, representing, as we do, a majority of the peoples of the earth in a spirit of distrust, malice, or hatred. As Supreme Commander for the Allied Powers, I announce it my firm purpose, in the tradition of the countries I represent, to proceed in the discharge of my responsibilities with justice and tolerance, while taking all necessary dispositions to ensure that the terms of surrender are fully, promptly, and faithfully complied with. Of the Emperor of Japan and the Japanese government and the Japanese Imperial General Headquarters to sign the instrument of surrender at the places indicated.
The end of the war marked the beginning of a new era for Americans. For those of us who experienced World War II, it became the dividing line. Things were dated simply before the war or after the war.
Baby, you got to hang up because I can't get no in calls because you got me on whatever you're doing.